Oh, it's an absolute awesome thrill to be here. And if I can get a little more light here too, please, somebody. Just a little bit more here just so I can see. Let there be light. Let there be light. There we go. There I am. How do I look? I got the nicest compliment yesterday at the gym. Edwin, he's been here a couple of times. Anyway, he came up to me. He says, Todd, he says, you look great. You look younger. Not a word of a lie. That's exactly what he said. And I'm like, yeah. Then, of course, after the, wow, look at me, the puffed up, then about 10 seconds later, I'm going, how did I look before? Isn't that crazy? But, you know, I took it as a compliment. I look younger. Hallelujah. Okay, how's my screen doing? How are we doing over there? Is there not good things? Okay, well, trust is over here, and we're going to push play, and let's go right to our scripture for that we've been studying. And it's found in Hebrews 10, and we're looking at 19 to 25. I'm going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to read it quickly because it gives us framework for this last Sunday for this series. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up to us exclusively by Jesus, the curtain, his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us then, number one, draw near to God with sincere hearts, with full assurance of faith that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Number two, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he has promised, who has promised is faithful. Number three, let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And number four, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, all the more as we see his day of his return approaching. This is going to be a little interesting as we, is there nothing? Nothing. So you just got to look at my beauty that's getting younger every day. Okay, well, as they continue to navigate there, Jesus, we are asking that you fix this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, no, I need agreement here. Okay. Fix it. What was that? No. Somebody said no. Fix this thing, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to navigate here, and we're just going to push play. And the essence of this entire message has been we acknowledge and celebrate that Jesus has made a way for us. We finally have access, and everybody said, thank God. Through the death and the resurrection of his cross, we have access to God. Now, I know that gets lost because we don't know any different. Can you imagine the first generation Christian that had to jump all these religious hoops to get to God and still couldn't get to him and then got to God because Holy Spirit came? Can you imagine them? And now us, we've known no different, but we can jump into God. So the essence of the whole message is followers of Christ, you who are Christians today, you who are Christians in this beautiful room, and hopefully the rest of you will be Christians before the end of the day. Amen. Declares, church, lovers of Jesus, now that we aren't separated from God because of what Jesus did, let's not live like we're separated from God anymore. And the writer of Hebrews offers four powerful suggestions, the four let us's. And we're going to look at the last two today as we close. The first two were what we talked about a few weeks ago, and that was which we have looked at, basically. Now, you have to understand that this is the vertical. This is the vertical that I've realized now. It is, let's go right into his presence, even on a Sunday morning or any time of the day, any time of the week. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere, fully trusted hearts. For you know what? Our guilty conscience has been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. We've been forgiven. If we ask for forgiveness, he's faithful and just to forgive us, and we can go right into his presence. It's good news. Number two, this is review. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Did you know that God can be trusted? You know he's faithful? How many people in this room realize that Jesus is faithful? Faithful. If you don't know it yet, you will. If you keep pressing in with God, well, you know what? He's faithful. When we're not, when we are, when we're not, doesn't matter. He remains faithful. He's faithful all the time. God is faithful. Period. Good news. Thank God. Those songs. Oh, Aaron, where are you? Oh, my. Oh, my. You know what? Doesn't matter when we think we're running, when we think we're hiding, when we think we're somewhere. You know what? I got good news. Jesus is right there. So good. So good. All right. Now the horizontal. The second two, since I have since discovered, are different in that they're horizontal. It's man to man. It's woman to woman. It's people to people. I never saw that until this week as I press forward. Oh, I see something. It's coming. Does this mean I get to use my really cool graphic that I was waiting all, that I'm so excited about? I'm going to stop right here and just wait because my graphic is cool. Well, maybe I'll keep going. The finished work of Jesus Christ. He's redeemed humanity. So now the last two is let us consider how we can spur one another on and let us not giving up meeting together. Wow, so good. See how they're the people factor ones? First are the God factor ones, and then these are the people factor ones. Okay, go to it. Here, is it on? Is it there? Oh, I'm so excited. You ready for this? Okay, here it is. Is that good or what? Now, the first two are vertical. Thank you. You're beautiful. That's all Keelan. He did this. The first two are all vertical. Let us go right into his presence with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Second one, let us hold tightly without wavering the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. The second two are horizontal. Come on. Can we give it up for Keelan? Let us consider how we can spur one another on, cheer one another on, and let's not give up meeting together. The finished work of Jesus Christ is for people. The finished work of Jesus Christ is for people. Let's continue. This is the third one. This is new, fresh stuff today. Let us consider how we can spur one another on. One of the versions says, think of ways to motivate one another, encourage one another. What are the ways that are working? What are the ways that are not working? Stick to the ways that are working. Now, this is Grey Cup Sunday with two teams that no one in this room cares about, except for me. No hissing, no booze? Okay. Okay, yes. In the same way, see, the writer of Hebrews uses sports language, uses sports illustration. So in the same way that we would cheer our team or teammates, we are to spur on our brothers and sisters in Christ. Don't give up. Hang in there. You can make it. Doesn't matter what you're going through. I know that a wave of depression is coming over so many. I hear the reports over the last 2 weeks. Depression, anxiety, stuff that's in people's hearts. And they take it on, and like Rob said, we burrow, we hide. Whenever that stuff happens, the last thing we want to do is be with people. I confessed something 3 years ago to the ministerial, And I don't know if I've ever shared this before, but November for the last 8 or 10 or 12 years has been the hardest month of my life. Waves of depression and anxiety and hopelessness bombard me. And it's, don't know why, if it's less light, I have no idea. And I hear the stories, the same stuff. People are struggling. At the ministerial, I'm hearing the pastors are saying that their people are struggling. But you know what? That is why we cheer one another on. That is why we hang in there. If you're feeling lousy today, thank God you're here. Now, I'm going to say something really bold right now. There's people that aren't here today because they're struggling with anxiety and depression. That is not any specific person. That is just a reality. So you know what we do? We text. Or you know what? Crazy this. We pick up a cell phone, calls crazy, and we call them, and we say, we're loving, we're praying for you today. We cheer one another on. Now, can I just, I'm just going verse by verse. I'm just doing this thing expositionally in the sense of what does God say? I want to communicate what God is saying. I don't want my words. I want God's words. We encourage, we celebrate, we find ways to motivate, we spur one another on to love and to good works. Now, unfortunately, good works has been given a bad rap in the Christian circles. And the reason that is because we know we're saved not by good works, we're saved by exclusively by His grace, correct? But you have to understand, good works, great works is great. If there wasn't great works happening, then all these wonderful things that I'm going to talk about today wouldn't be happening. Great works are great. The perceived contradiction arises for Christians, though, because it's an issue of motive. Is that there? Yes. Why do we do good works? To earn our salvation? 10 million times never! Am I allowed to yell? I'm going to anyway, so. We are saved by His benevolent grace, His finished work. We run to Him and we are saved. We run to Him and we are saved. But church, I got good news. Out of that love, out of that revelation, bursts forth works. Now, let me just give you a little bit of theology here as we push play. The debate between two scriptures that seem contradictory. And it was interesting. I think it was Brad this morning who was quoting this scripture, and I was kind of grinning inside because I was going to be preaching it. For it has been grace, it is by grace exclusively that you've been saved. If you're a Christian today, I got good news. It had nothing to do with any of your merit, had nothing to do with anything you did. It's exclusively because of the finished work of Jesus, and you simply took it. It's not by yourself, it's a gift of God. Not by works. Because as soon as we think we can earn it, we brag about it, and we get haughty, and we crash and burn. Or is that just me? There's nothing we can do to earn God's love. There's nothing we can do to earn God's salvation. It was freely given by God. But then you've got James, who is kind of one of those under-your-skin guys. He's almost like the Don Cherry amongst us. But he's a very sanctified one. Okay, let's just say that. He's a very sanctified one. But then James says stuff to kind of shake us up a little bit. Because you know what? Why did he have to say this? Because the church was getting lazy. I don't know how else to say it. He said this, had to say it, because the church was getting lazy. So he said, faith without works is dead. Now, these two passages are not contradictory at all, and let me explain why. It's basically what it means is a relationship with Jesus Christ without the evidence of doing things for Him doesn't make any sense. It's empty. Weymouth New Testament reads, faith, if it is unaccompanied by obedience has no life in it so long as it stands alone. Now, got this quote this week. A dear friend of mine gave me this. We were talking about this. And a dear friend of mine gave me this quote from John Piper. And oh my. This, well, the first one. Barry Miracle says this all the time. We don't work for God's love. We work from a place of understanding God's love. Somebody say amen. There it is. There's the whole message. We don't work for God's love. We work from a place of understanding his love. Now, ready for this? This is cool. Oh my. Somebody say oh my. John Piper quoted this. Grace isn't opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. Isn't opposed to effort. Yeah, it is good. It's opposed to earning. So let's tidy this all up so we can say, you know, good works are great in the right place. Now, if you were to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, this is so cool. Listen to this. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, but it's a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There is nothing, so no one can boast. Verse 10 is this, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Our salvation doesn't come from works, but our love for him, then works come. What we do comes from a place that's in our heart. Works is love expressed. We are compelled, or the Bible says constrained, to do loving things for one another because God has so richly loved us. I'm going to say that again. We are compelled. We're constrained. We burst wanting to do good things for others because of all the love that God has shown us. Oh, somebody say amen. So good. All right. Now, let me just take a few minutes and celebrate and brag on the body of Christ. So, church, let's do good things for one another, which encourages and strengthens us. And then, as we are strengthened, let us together encourage our community. Let's continue to come up with ideas to meet the needs around us. Now, Christians of Sylvan Lake and Central Alberta, just hear this for a moment. Blows my mind how much Christians are doing in our communities. Thank God for Christians that get it and are doing it and are making a difference. All the shelters and soup kitchens and feeding programs and benevolent sharing programs and gift hampers and gift boxes that we're doing and generating right now, and the food banks and everything that the that Youth Unlimited is doing with the Incline Skate Park, loving on kids. I had the opportunity to go to Lotus Reborn, which is the old strip joint that they're turning into something for Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Something from poison to life. Something from death to life. And the ministerial, I know the plea has gone out. Please come and let's pray that there is a turn of hearts in the town council and the city council of Red Deer. That, can you imagine actually having to fight and contend for moral and righteous and beautiful things? Can you imagine? Blows my mind. So I went. Tammy's away, so what else am I going to do, right? Anyway, I would have gone anyway. And it was awesome to pray with the body of Christ and to agree together. And I walk in, and who's there? Pastor Tim and Jennifer. Gave them a big, gigantic hug and sat with them, and we just contended and enjoyed Jesus together. Oh, my. that they want to do something for Jesus, that they want a dream center in Red Deer, loving, caring, healing the hurts. Praise the name of Jesus. Then there's all the outreach strategies of our local churches. Real relationships that are making real healing in people's lives. Authentic, real healing. I'm learning about soul care that the Alliance Church is doing right now, that it's a sanctioned healing agent that's going right across the Alliance Church across Canada, and it is powerful. It is being used mightily, and I'm just doing some research right now. I'm meeting with a pastor next week to see if we can implement that here. There's restoration ministry. There's a resonate prayer strategies, clearing up the traffic in the spiritual atmosphere so that people can be free. There's the loving of our community from Bibles for Grads and Mayor's Prayer Breakfast. It goes on and on and on. And now that I'm more involved in its workings as the chair of the ministerial, which I am this year, I continue to witness firsthand how incredibly high caliber the ministers are in this town. Everybody doing their part, speaking life. Now, speaking of everyone doing their part, I know many of us know Donna Ellerby. Woohoo, Donna. And she is really a great ambassador of Sylvan Lake Community Partners. I want to finish with this. Not that I'm done, but I just want to finish with this part. She came to the ministerial this week, and she shared some of the great things that community partners are doing. In fact, we are so blown away, and their needs are so great that as a collective, as a church, we said we're going to throw more resources and we're going to throw more money at it because we believe in this thing because it is fruitful. Praise the name of Jesus. Yvette, amen? Amen. Are you going to cheer? Let's yell. Amen. Thank you. Now, watch this. They take very critical statistics on how they're meeting the need. This year already, they've had 9,000 relational exchanges with people helping the communities of Sylvan Lake and area. Did you just hear that? 9,000. That's how they call it. That's how they graph it. That's how they chart it. 9,000 relational exchanges. That is one-on-one. That's people coming in and receiving help or getting counsel or getting loved on in community partners at the store, or if it's text or email or by phone, whatever it is. 9,000 times there has been relational exchange helping people. All in the midst of the tangible giving over and above. We're going to throw our money there. We're going to throw our money there because they're meeting the need. The needs are great. Needs are huge. But Jesus Christ is huger. Huger. Is that even a word? Huger! Now, I got this highlighted. See, it's highlighted there? See the yellow? So I'm going to say that right now because this has blown my mind here in Sylvan Lake. I told Tim Mearns this week, I said, you know what, Tim? We had coffee this week, and I said, I'm going to brag on this church. I'm going to brag on the Christians in this community because it's incredible. Never seen it. Never seen it like this before in my life. The enemy keeps puking on people. You go downtown, and I was trying to find Lotus on Reborn, and Pastor goes down to find Lotus Reborn, and the address took me right to a current strip joint. Must be here. Drunk. No. And the funny thing is at the front door, there's, you know, smile, you're on video surveillance. And I'm over there going, oh my goodness. Local pastor frequents a... So I'm like, okay, so this, and the brokenness in this, I think it was a lady, and living in a grocery cart beside her, living beside this warehouse shell, and that's her home. Prayed for her, and I said, do you have any idea where Lotus Reborn is? It's a Christian outreach center. She knew exactly where it was. Yes. She says, I think it's in behind here. No signs, wrong address. And I went in and I said to Tim, I said, you know what? My gracious. I said, I've been a half an hour trying to find this place. Dr. Mulholland, I texted him saying, I can't find it. And I promise to be here. I want to be here. I want to celebrate this. I want to be part of this thing. And so the lady that's living on the street was the one that got me there. Praise the name of Jesus. I got in there. First person I see is Tim. And I'm like, I found it. He's like, exactly. I was looking for a half an hour as well. Anyway, God met us there. It was awesome. In fact, their new worship pastor, her name is Erin, brand new worship pastor at the Alliance Church.
Why are you talking so much about the Alliance Church? Talk about us. We're better.
She is the one that used to generate all the burns, all the worship burns. She came to the services here when Barry Miracle was here. She comes over, Pastor Todd, how are you? She says, I'm over at the Alliance Church now. Oh my, look out, Alliance Church. It is so good. Spirit of God is up to things. Okay, let me get back to this. The enemy keeps puking all over people, and Christians keep loving and helping them clean up their messes without judgment and condemnation. That's what we do. That's what we do. This is the church coming together. This is the church loving one another. We ain't just talking it. We're walking it. Thank you, church. Thank you, church. Thank you. We're doing it. Let's continue to do it. Encouraging one another to do good works. Encouraging one another to do good works. And lastly, let us not give up meeting together.
Are you telling me I gotta go to church?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I'll go to church once a year.
Now, let me just qualify a couple of things. When it says, let's not, you notice it doesn't say here, let us not stop going to church from 10:30 to 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. That's what we do. Collectively, we do that. We come together at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. But it's every regularly and weekly is, it should be at least once a week because we get messed up. In a week, we get messed up without encouragement. So let us not give up meeting together. If it's 6 or 8 of us meeting together or 6 or 8,000 of us meeting together, it doesn't matter. It's let's not give up meeting together. I was expecting more of a hallelujah there. We stay strong together. We are not properly centered and we lose perspective when we try to go it alone. We go off by ourselves. You know the wolves look for the lone gun. The wolves look for that one that is going out by themselves. And we lose perspective. We lose the resources of the body of Christ. We get discouraged, disillusioned, and disenfranchised. But when we're together, I like this next line too. Rob, did you have any idea? Where are you? Oh my. Oh my. Like, oh my. Like, is Jesus on the throne? Is Holy Spirit doing this or what? See, when we stay together, then you pick me up when I'm down, and I pick you up when you're down. That's what I said when I started this message today. And why do we do that? Because we're never up and we're never on our game all the time. Listen to my next line. It's just as important. I'm going to say it again. We're never up and we're never on our game all the time. We have rotten days. We have yucky Wednesdays where we feel lonely, where we feel yucky, and two little girls come and give you a hug. Body of Christ doing what we're supposed to do. If we were on our game all the time, there's only one thing that would happen. We'd get prideful, and we'd get calloused. You can put that on your phone. If we were up all the time, only thing that would happen is pride. We look down on others that aren't on their game all the time. And then there would be striving to be up on our game all the time. And then when we crash and burn, we'd hide. Isn't it great cycles? Now, the problem with the pride and getting calloused is eventually we'll crash and burn and we'll get off our game. Now, you know, I always find it funny when you preach this message because you're preaching to the people that are here. You preach to the choir. But I'm going to preach this same message for the next 12 weeks, and I'm going to reach different people with it. You hear people say, I don't need to go to church. Now, that might be true. I don't believe it's true, but that's another argument. Now, but, everyone say but. I like a big but, and I cannot lie. That got your attention. Maybe someone else needs you to go to church because you have that word of encouragement. Maybe they need to see the consistency in your life because nothing in their world is consistent or stable. Oh, fuzzle sticks. Someone will be there for them. What if everybody felt that way? What if everybody had that attitude? We need one another. Encourage one another as long as it is called today. As some are in the habit of doing. Now, how about, because I've said it all the time, it's one of my life sentences, it's one of my mantra statements of life. Habits aren't bad, bad habits are bad. Habits aren't bad, bad habits are bad. That's good stuff. You can take that one to the bank. How about we make a habit of keep coming together, even when we don't feel like it? I'm all by myself. I'm lonely. The enemy got a little bit of a stew and spit on me this morning. And I didn't feel like going to church today. Felt a little yucky, actually. But I'd get fired if I didn't, so I came. You do it if you feel it or not. That's my message in 2 weeks. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. That's right. Staytuned.com. Statistics have proven time and time again that you get a more consistent, rewarding life when we regularly attend a life-offering, life-giving church. We need constant reminders of the great things God's doing. We need constant encouragement of the great things that God is. Almost done. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. The original reader had an understanding and belief that Jesus Christ could come back any minute, any hour, any day. Okay? He promised he's going to come back. They thought it was going to be that generation. In fact, they didn't think it was going to be that generation. They thought it could be like literally any day, any week. Can you imagine living your life excited about the thought that Jesus Christ could come back at any minute? It wasn't a fearful expectation. It wasn't a fearful expectancy thing. Now get this, because it's cool. It's like when your dad's been away for an extended period of time. It's not about feeling he's going to scold you, but you look forward to his return. You can play football, you can play video games with him, whatever, and you want him to be proud of you. I don't know if I'm the only one, but it was that sense where my dad was away. It wasn't oil or anything, but he was away a lot. But there was that sense of when he did return, I wanted him to be proud of me. Want to be proud of me. It's the same way with Jesus. He is proud of you. If you love him, you want to clean your bedroom. And every 9-year-old said amen. Every 15-year-old said amen. You want to mow the lawn. You want to organize the house with mom. It's the same way with the return of Jesus Christ. We want to be busy increasing his kingdom. Worship team, would you come on back? I want to close with this. We're done really early. I just want us to just sort of enjoy Jesus for a couple of minutes before we close. Before Hamilton beats Winnipeg today, Jesus. Let's wrap up this entire series. Yeah. Any of that stuff you did earlier? Oh my. Bang on. So good. So good. Let's stand. Let's enjoy Jesus here for the last few minutes. Hallelujah, Lamb of God. Hallelujah, O Lamb of God. Oh, we've heard from you today, Jesus. Oh, we've heard from your heart. Oh, get the vertical down, pressing into Jesus, drilling for his heart, looking for his heart. He's right here to heal you. He's right here to heal you. Oh, get that vertical you between God, personal you between God. Get that right. He's here to heal you. He's here to break that barrier that you've put in. He's here to break that barrier you've put in that keeps him far away. You know what? If you feel he's far away, it's your thinking, it's your feeling, it isn't him. Oh, he's here to heal you. Let us go right into his presence with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience has been sprinkled with blood, making us clean. Yeah, just keep doing that. Whoa, making us clean. Let us hold tight, let's not let go to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. That's vertical, now horizontal, church, listen to me. Let's love one another. Let's encourage one another. Let's spur one another on to love and to good works. Pick up a phone today. If you know someone's not here, maybe wait till tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday, but pick up the phone and say, hey, praying for you. Loving you. Not the where were you stuff. Don't go there. It's dumb. Don't go there. Just say, I'm praying for you. I know you're probably going through some stuff. I'm praying for you. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know what? How many people like one sentence summaries? How about this? 3-week series summarized in one sentence. How's that sound? How's that sound? Is that make it plain? Is that make it plain? Love God. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. Love God. Encourage one another. That's your takeaway today, church.